We're in a brand new season, a season of Advent. And with this Advent season, we're starting a new sermon series called Do You Hear What I Hear? And it's focused on the sounds of the songs that we sing around Christmas time. And like we talked about with the kids, we're not focusing on the Santa Claus songs, although those are nice and fun too. We are focusing on the Christmas carols and the hymns that shape how we view what happened at Christmas time. Because the songs that we sing, believe it or not, shape our theology. And a lot of times, the songs that we sing have more influence on what we believe than the doctrines that we teach. Right? Because it's one thing to know that God will be with you in the middle of a hard time. Or it's one thing that you know that God has a plan for you and that God is going to be with you. But it's a whole different thing to be able to sit with a sick or a dying relative and to be able to sing, "It is well with my soul," and mean it. Those are these songs that we sing over and over again have a way of seeping into our way of life that ideas and doctrines and statements that we believe ever can. In fact, I think it's funny. I know a number of good preachers that preach in like contemporary churches, and I'm not knocking any of those kinds of churches. I think they're doing good work for the kingdom. But I find a lot of times those folks, when they come upon some really hard times, the songs that they go back to are the songs they learned when they were kids. The old hymns of the faith, the "It Is Wells," and the "When Peace Like a River Intendeth My Way," and the "Amazing Grace." Those are the songs that when things get really hard, they revisit and that end up meaning something important to them. Which is why we're going to examine Christmas songs this Advent. We're going to look at a few Christmas favorites and see how they interact with Scripture. See the songs that they were singing back then and how they relate to the songs that we're singing now. And how they shape what we believe about the incarnation of God in human form. And see what that means for us. And I hope that we can give a new meaning to Christmas and a new life into some of these old songs as we talk about them during this month of December. And so we're calling the series, Do You Hear What I Hear? And we're going to hit the ground running with a real barn burner. This first song in this series is one of my very favorite Christmas songs of all time. But it's hard to sing, but it's loaded with meaning, and it's important to me. So we're going to talk about O Holy Night. So one of my initial thoughts with this series is that I was going to share some background information with you about how the songs came to be, how they were written, the people that wrote them, and the stories behind them. But you know what? There's not really a real great story for this one. I went and looked. Willeen was kind enough to let me borrow a book with the backgrounds of some of these songs. But the story for this one was like, that was written by a French poet. There's no like deeper story than that. And so, but I thought about even saying, well, maybe we should use a different hymn that has a better story. But the more I thought about it, the story in this hymn is all in the lyrics. The lyrics tell the story. I don't need any background to this because the words are just so good. So I'm not going to sing this song for you. I'm not going to sing O Holy Night, because when we get to the fall on your knees part, I'm just going to embarrass myself, right? Give you a little preview of what that was going to be like. It's not a pretty picture. But I want us to examine the lyrics together, and we're just going to read the song instead of singing it together. So let's really examine this song together. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night divine. The second verse is really my favorite one. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. That's a good one. I love that second verse. And I love this song because it deals with the world-changing implications of Jesus' birth. Sure, it starts out describing that night, but quickly it gets to, here's what all this means for us. It's not just focused on a little baby and a nice story of a manger scene. He's talking about what it means. Jesus is over here breaking chains and stopping oppression. He's over here with a law which is love and a gospel which is peace. And his power and glory are forevermore. And there's just some power and some meaning in those words that is incredibly special to me. But there are elements of this song that remind me of another song which is found in Scripture. It's a song that also grapples with the implications for the world of this little baby born in a manger. And it's a song found in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. It's a song that Mary sang after meeting with Elizabeth and having the baby jump in Elizabeth's womb. It's a profound song for such a young woman, and it echoes the themes of O Holy Night in a beautiful way. So let's look at it. We're looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So there's some things that these songs have in common that I want us to look at. The first thing that these two songs have in common is a thrill of hope. You can see how thrilled Mary is by this hope that this child inside of her brings her. And it's not just a hope for herself. She has a hope for all of Israel. She says his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. She thought about the mighty deeds that God performed with his arm when he scattered those who were proud in their inmost thoughts. He brought down rulers from their thrones but lifted up the humble. To Abraham and his descendants forever, he's promised to our ancestors. You see, during this time, the Israelites were dominated by the Roman government. Rome was oppressing God's people. And she remembered all of the times throughout the whole history of Israel, when God's people were oppressed, God came through with his mighty arm and saved them. Whether it was through the book of Judges, when the Philistines were coming down and they were constantly being saved by these judges, whether it was through the great oppression of the Syrians during their time of exile, when God brought them back to their promised land. And now this new oppressor, Rome, was coming, and Mary was saying, God has come through us time and time again, and he's going to come through for us again. She was thrilled at this hope that this child she was bringing might actually do something when it came to Rome. And part of every time that God came through for his people before, God also dealt with their sin. And so there's this handholding of time when God would deliver from oppression from outside, but he would also deliver them from the oppression that was in their hearts when they turned away from him. And those things often went hand in hand. So there was a thrill of hope for God's people of Israel that God was going to do something to free them from their oppressors. But you know, there was a hope for Mary too. A hope for her personally. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." She had a hope that this child was going to be a blessing for her. That the promise that God made her when God came to her and told her that this child would be special, that was going to actually mean something for her. She had a thrill of hope that this child was going to be a blessing and not a burden for her. So she had a hope for Israel. She had a hope for herself. And we can look at this song and see a hope for ourselves. I hope that we get this thrill of hope when we look into Mary's song and see how good God has been to us. Just as Mary rehearsed in this song all the times that God came through for his people, we can remember all the times that God has come through for us. And that Jesus' coming to earth in human form means something real. The world is different. Our world is different because Jesus came. And I hope that your life has been different because Jesus came into it. I hope that you can know through the thrill of hope, knowing that God has come through for you time and time again in the past, and that whatever you're facing right now, Jesus will come through for you again. Because the other thing that these two songs have in common, beyond the thrill of hope that God might do something, is that he says, "Bonds shall he break." O Holy Night, especially in that second verse, talks about the freedom that we receive in Christ. The bonds that are over us that Jesus is coming to break. And that's what Mary saw too in this child that she was going to have. She talks about him bringing down the rich and lifting up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things but sent away the rich empty. He helped his servant Israel. The bondage that they were experiencing under Rome, she believed that Jesus was going to help with that. And we believe that Jesus' coming deals with our bonds as well. The whole world is under the bondage of sin and war and strife. And we can see that we have a hope that God could do something about that. That through Jesus, he has given us peace. It says his law is love and his gospel is peace. And that as we live into the law, the love and the peace of God, we can have a hope of being good for the whole world. That we can be a part of the ways that God is breaking the bonds of strife in our world through us. That we can live out God's peace. You see, Mary had some bonds as well. Mary was bounded by this stigma of this unwed pregnancy that she was in. That people were looking at her knowing that she was not yet married to Joseph, and yet she was with child, clearly. And so she was dealing with the stigma of that day in and day out. In fact, she was worried that Joseph was going to divorce her, or worse, might have had her put to death for this under the old law. That had to have weighed heavily on her. And not only that, she had the pressure. Even if everything worked out all right with the birth and the pregnancy, she had this pressure of raising this child that she knew was special. Could you imagine having the Savior of the world in your womb and knowing that if you messed up in that parenting, something bad could happen to this child. And that's a lot of pressure for a young girl. And that had to be a certain amount of bond for her. That had to have been a burden for her. And yet, she declares that her soul glorifies the Lord because God, in his grace, would get her through. That God could break the bond of the stigma that was on her. That God could break the bond of the pressure that was on her and could do something great through her. She believed that this baby had the power to break the bonds of sin in her life. And so you and I have to look and ask ourselves, what sort of bonds do we need Jesus to break for us this Advent season? Everybody I know is living under some kind of bond. Everybody I know has some sort of burden on them that we need Jesus to break. Maybe it's a sin that you just can't shake off. Maybe it's something that an addiction that you just can't seem to break. And you need to cry out to Jesus today. Maybe it's a relationship trouble that's weighing you down. Maybe there is some relationship in your life that is broken in a way that you cannot fix. And it's weighing you down heavily this Christmas time. Maybe it's grief. Maybe there's some loss in your life that you're still grieving and you're burdened by it and it's a bond that you just can't shake. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's something that you physically are bound by. Maybe you're experiencing anxiety and depression this holiday season. And this anxiety keeps you from really being able to enjoy the pleasures of Christmas and family. Maybe this anxiety and this depression has you bound up in a way that keeps you down. Maybe there's some sort of financial bondage that you're under. Maybe you just cannot seem to make ends meet, and it's a cloud that's looming dark over your head. I don't know what your bond is today. Maybe it's none of these things. Maybe it's more than one. But I do know that Christ desires your freedom. Now, when we say that Jesus breaks the bonds that we're under, it doesn't mean that he will always change your circumstances. Your circumstances might be what they are. But Christ has the power to break the power of those circumstances over you. Christ has the ability to break the bond that those circumstances have on your life. Christ has the ability to come through for you and give you a power on the inside that is greater than the power that is over you. Greater is he that is in me than he is that is in the world. Christ has the power to break the chains of anxiety and depression over you. Christ has the ability to break the bonds of financial bondage over you. Christ has the power to break the bonds of that broken relationship over you and give you a relationship to him that outweighs that. Christ has the power to break the bonds of sin in your life and to give you holiness. Christ has the power to break the bonds of grief and allow you to grieve well. Christ has the power because his law is love and his gospel is peace. Mary believed that Christ had the power to break every kind of bond in her life. The author of O Holy Night believed that this incarnation of God had the power to break chains. So my question to you today is, what chains does God need to break for you this Advent season? What bond are you under that God can take away from you this Advent season? Because he desperately desires to do so. God does not want you to be under any bond this year. That doesn't mean your circumstances are going to change. That doesn't mean that everything is just going to be perfect for you, but it does mean that your problems and your bonds don't have to have the last word in your life. That Christ and his love and his gospel and his peace can have the final word over your circumstances today. That is the good news of Advent. That Jesus Christ came in human form to break the bonds of sin and brokenness over you and to give you a victory over that. So today, we're going to come to the altar for communion. And what better way, what better time to claim Christ's victory over whatever is holding you down, whatever is binding you up and holding you down, than to come and fall on your knees, as the song says, and receive his body and his blood through these elements, and to claim a victory. And if there is a particular bond that is over you that you need prayer for, we're going to sing a song at the end of the service. I want to invite you to come and receive prayer. And let's declare that our chains are broken, that God is going to give us a freedom this Advent season. Let's fall on our knees and proclaim his glory and his power forever over whatever is binding us up. Let's pray. God, you love us. You came for us. God, I pray that you'll give us grace during this time. Give us grace during this Advent to declare victory over whatever is holding us down. God, break our chains. Free us from whatever is binding us up. God, give us a spiritual victory this Advent season so that we can go and do your will and do your work and proclaim your word today. Break our bonds today, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. So go now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, having peace and freedom this Advent. And if there's something you need prayer for, if there's some sort of bondage you need to have released in your life, even though the service may be coming to a close, that offer stands. I want to pray for you. I want us to live in freedom and release this Advent. So come and receive prayer. If you want to come after the service, if you want to come this week, I don't want anybody to feel like that is an opportunity that's passed them by. So let's go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.